addition to the devotion.
5 weeks ago, article came out concerning this in one of the, in two of the church papers. I very rarely read the church papers I get, read them for announcements more than anything. But anyway, I got several phone calls wanting to know what I thought of the article, and I just read the article yesterday, just got around to it yesterday. It is troubling. I will call the individual that wrote the article, jotted down several questions that I like to ask him concerning the article. But it is, again, this, I personally don't believe this is anything new. For decades, if you listen, there's little things that are said that cause me to wonder if individuals believed along this line that we today do not have the preserved Word of God, that no preacher goes into the pulpit without or with the Word of God. Well, if that be so, why bother? I mean, that's just ignorance. But again, I don't want to get off on that. But we will, I'm sure. But in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, been looking at the Ten Commandments, in verses 1 and 2, we see the preface of the commandments. And the preface is for the purpose of enforcing the commandments. It serves as a motivation, serves as a stimulus, an inspiration to obey the commandments. It begins in verse 1, and God spake all these words. So our attention is immediately drawn to God, and that needs to be the case. He is the speaker. He's the starting point. And in considering the commandments, God is the starting point. God is the source. God is the authority. And God spake all these words. God has something to say. That means the Ten Commandments are the communication of God. It's the arrangement of God. Is the instruction of God, is the requirements of God, it is the plan of God. So again, as we said last week, this wasn't left to the devisings of man. And then in verse 2, he proceeds to describe himself, which gives us three reasons, three motivations to obey his commands. In verse 2, he says, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. That speaks of God's sovereignty. A reason to obey the commandments is God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Then he says something else. I am the Lord, thy God. That speaks of a relationship. It speaks of a covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. That's to whom the commandments were given, of course. I am the Lord, thy God. Thy God. Those two words should be very, very precious to all children of God. They speak of the existence of a relationship. Thy God. God is not merely a force, not merely a point of theology. Thy God. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and there is a sense, of course, that God is thy God of all people. He's the creator, we're the creation. Therefore, he's our God, thy God. Then, of course, you get into the special relationship of the Lord, which even gives us more motivation to obey. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. There we have the relationship of a father. Relationship of a father. We are the sons or we are the children. He is the Father, thy God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. There he is presented as a friend, thy God, friend. So the very words, thy God, speak of a relationship, speak of a bond, speak of an identity with the Lord. And all of this serves as a motivation to keep the commandments, to obey the commandments. Thy God speaks of a knowledge. It speaks of knowing him. Not just knowing that there is a God. There are many unsaved people that believe there is a God. But there's a world of difference between believing that there is a God and knowing him. Two completely different things. And the word thy God speaks of a knowledge of him. Now, this personal relationship is a motivation. And it's used as motivation throughout the Word of God. It is a motivation for obedience. In Joshua chapter 23, we'll not turn there, but when Joshua gave his last counsels to the nation, He urged them in verse 6 to be of good courage. He urged them in verse 8 to cleave to the Lord. And in verse 11, he urged them to give good heed or to pay attention to what God says. And has a means of motivation, has an incentive to cleave to the Lord. Has an incentive to be of good courage, has an incentive to give good heed to the Lord. 13 times there in Joshua 23, he makes reference, the Lord your God. He didn't just say the Lord. He said the Lord your God. That was to motivate them to do the things that he was counseling them to do. He is your God. And the fact that he is thy God, the fact that he is your God, is an incentive to obedience. We are to obey the Ten Commandments because they are given of God. Because they are given of God. We are to obey the Ten Commandments because of who God is. He is sovereign. We have a relationship with him which gives us more incentive to obey the Lord. Again, it's troubling when a professing child of God tries to find loopholes in the commandments. That's very, very troubling as to that person's spiritual state, because we ought to have more incentive than anyone to obey. So he says, I am the Lord, reminding us of his sovereignty. And he says, I am the Lord thy God. And then he says, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. There he's talking about redemption. And that is the third reason that we are to obey the commandments, because of his redemptive relationship. And we'll pick up there next week and also begin to get into the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And may I say, the preface is not just for the first commandment. The preface has relation to the 10 commandments there in Exodus chapter 20. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given us to be in your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us today to worship you in spirit and in truth. For those that are here and lost, we pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts to salvation, that you'd save their souls. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.